the church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Help us to fight this evil.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Dear Brittany, honestly, I really do get it. I'm a strong woman, just like you, and I understand the horrible fear that you're facing. The scary predictions of what will happen, the loss of control. Even the stupid name of that tumor sounds just as ominous today as it did when I first heard that word in the doctor's office. Like you, Brittany, I'm apprehensive. I know the predictions. I know what's ahead for me, and possibly for you. But we're still here, aren't we? We haven't squeezed out every drop of life left in us yet. So, Brittany, please don't. Please don't leave us yet. Let's choose life for as long as we've got it.
That's the late Dr. Maggie Carner, former director of LCMS Life Ministry and a frequent guest on Issues, Etc., speaking in a video to Brittany Maynard last year, urging her not to commit suicide on account of her terminal illness and her brain cancer. Well, Brittany Maynard claimed that she wanted to have a death with dignity, and it seemed the only definition that would fit there would be for her to take her own life. Is there such a thing as death with dignity, and what does it look like? Well, I think that the late Dr. Maggie Carner has actually shown us that. Joining us to talk about death with dignity, her daughter, Mary Carner, registered nurse in Connecticut, author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, "My Mom Just Died of Brain Cancer. Here is Why She Opposed Assisted Suicide." Mary, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, thank you for having me.
First of all, how are you guys doing? Your father, your sisters, Heidi and Annie doing?
I'm going to just say that we're okay. It certainly hasn't been easy, but we have had such tremendous support from family and friends and our church family. And my mom knew people all over the world. So it is very supportive when you have people from Madagascar texting you saying, "Hi, we're praying for you." So that was pretty cool.
Tell us about your mom. What would you want us to know about her?
She was the most courageous person I have ever met in my entire life and probably will ever meet. But the funny thing about her was she never really thought she was courageous. And it's just been amazing to see her life's work just kind of unfold in front of us in the way that God has used her, even in her illness and her death. I've seen so much strength from her. And I know that so many people have benefited, I hope, from her story. She was pretty freaking awesome. That's the best way I can say it.
You're an RN. You have been in crisis situations. You've seen death yourself. And you knew what your mom's diagnosis would mean for her, especially since she said, this is likely going to kill me. I'm not, in her words, I'm not going to kill myself. Why was she determined to face death that way?
I think she, along with me and the rest of my family, we don't want to be a part of a society that glorifies death. Death is an awful part of our life. Why give it any more reign over our lives here on earth? She wanted to soak up every last minute that she had. And even when the minutes for her were hard, they were moments that we had with her. And she knew that she was giving those to us as a gift, even if it was hard for her. I'm not going to say that it was easy. There were days where even my mom felt like a burden. And for me, that's heartbreaking. And I would never want someone to feel like they were a burden and that they should just end their life. I mean, if my mom felt that way, of all people, I can definitely assume that others would be feeling that way as well. And we've always wanted to strive for life in everything that we do.
You've used that term gift. How can you call watching your mom suffering? How is it you call that a gift?
Well, it wasn't the best gift I've ever received, but I mean, we had the opportunity to serve her. And like I said in my column, that was the biggest honor of my life. And we had moments with her that I will never, ever forget. You know, in between her sleeping for 23 of the 24 hours a day, that 1 hour that we had with her was beyond special to me. And she also just was a witness to us, even when she couldn't talk. And that was a gift to see someone just entrust their whole life to Jesus and know that that's where she was going. And that to me is priceless. I will never forget that.
You've also written about, I guess we can call it, the advance of this culture of death that recently took a step forward mm-hmm. in California. The governor there, Against Hope, signed a bill permitting physician-assisted suicide. What's your reaction to that?
I'm heartbroken. I'm not the kind of person that takes... I'm a very non-confrontational type of person. And when I heard that, I knew I had to write something. I'm absolutely heartbroken. There's so many ripple effects from a bill like that that I don't think people have even really thought about. Not just, you know, in our religious society, you can talk about consequences with the medical society. If people are just choosing to end their lives early, I mean, my mom participated in a 6-month clinical trial. I mean, who knows how much they learned from that? And we would be losing science in some regards if we're just saying that it's okay for people to end their lives whenever they want. I mean, we fight for the lives of a 16-year-old child with depression. Why are we not fighting for the lives of someone with a terminal illness? I don't understand the difference because they're both human lives to me.
Your mom recorded a video. This was, I think about a year ago, maybe a little bit more, when Brittany mm-hmm. Maynard, with the same diagnosis of cancer, a younger woman, decided she was going to take her own life legally in response to facing that cancer. And your mom did, I mean, it was a hard thing to watch that video of your mom saying why she isn't going to and pleading with Brittany Maynard not to do the same. That must have been very difficult for her to do and to kind of mm-hmm. come to grips with her own mortality in the course of that video. Why did she do that?
Well, I think she felt called to it. I know she struggled with it. I remember vividly a phone conversation where she was like, I don't know if I can do this. And I was like, Mom, you have to. You've been given this opportunity. You know, 90% of the population doesn't get the opportunity to have a voice. And she had the opportunity and she seized it. And no matter how hard it was. But we all have a grasp on our mortality, even in our baptism. I mean, we know from the day we're born that we're going to die. And I think as Christians, we all think about death a little bit more maybe than the normal population. And that's okay because we have comfort in that and we have comfort in the resurrection. So I know that my mom relied on that to make the video. And she felt very strongly about what she was saying. And again, like I said, she was the most courageous woman I've ever known.
You know, all too well that it goes from, on the subject of assisted suicide or euthanasia, it goes from the right to die, which people use first, to the duty to die. What do you make of that chilling phrase?
It's chilling. That's exactly what you said. Right to die sounds fuzzy and warm, and we all want or what our loved ones would want, and we want to give them all their wishes, especially in the face of a terminal illness. You try and do everything you possibly can to make those person's last days what they want. But it can so easily turn into the duty to die. Like I said, she even felt some days that she was a burden. And I don't want anyone to feel that they are not valuable. I want even on your darkest days to look at you and say, I value you because you are precious in God's eyes and you're precious in my eyes, whether you feel like it or not, whether you have 20 years or 20 days, you are valuable. And I don't want anyone to ever feel like they're a burden or they're not worthy of the life that they've been given.
The last time I talked with your mom here on this program, she told a story of her father's last mm-hmm. year's. I believe it was a subject of a stroke or something like that. What's that story again?
Yeah, he suffered a stroke and ended up becoming a quadriplegic for the last few months of his life. And he was in a hospice facility, and my aunts and uncles and my mom took turns taking care of him. And the way they talk about their last few months with him is incredible. They recorded conversations with him and talked about things that they probably would never talk about. And I know that those were times that they cherish. And it was something that my mom held close to her even to the end of her life. A serving attitude has always been something that she's wanted to impress upon us. I even asked her, what's something you would want me to tell your grandkids someday? And she said, I just want them to know how to be servants. And I think she learned that, especially from that experience with my grandfather. And they loved him up until the second that he died. And I feel like we did the same for my mom.
She spent her last days in hospice with all kinds of palliative care, the pain relief.
Yep.
And you say that this kind of care for the dying gives true meaning to death with dignity. What do you mean by that, Mary?
Well, it's comfort measures. You know, it's saying we had to make the decision, all right, we're not going to go forward with any more treatment. And that was a very difficult decision for any family to have to make. From that point on, we go towards comfort. And even when you're facing death in the very near future, we still wanted to err on the side of life. So whatever we could do for mom to make her comfortable, whether that was increased pain management or playing piano for her or whatever. And I think some people think of hospice as it can be very difficult pain management. And sometimes people are not themselves in hospice. And we were very lucky that my mom was lucid up until about a week before she died. So we were lucky, but sometimes it's not like that. And even in those situations, I still feel like it's a valuable gift to the family to be there with their loved one, to care for their loved one, and to leave the choice of life or death up to God rather than science or doctors or even the person themselves. There are so many resources with hospice and palliative care now. I mean, they were absolutely amazing with my mom. They kept my mom comfortable, and it's not the old what we used to think of with hospice is we just dope them up with morphine and then they're totally zonked out for the rest of their life. It's really not like that. And they know what they're doing. And so that was very comforting to us as well as a family.
A moment ago, you mentioned, you know, the possibility of future grandchildren for your mom. And I wonder if you're thus blessed someday, what will you tell them about your mom and about her death with dignity?
Oh, gosh. I mean, it was the most beautiful thing. I mean, we literally were there with her every step of the way, and we had conversations with her about all kinds of things, including her faith. And that's something that I want to impress upon my grandkids, or my kids, I guess, is that my mom's faith was absolutely unshakable in the face of so much struggle and so many attacks from the devil. She was literally unshakable and so courageous. And that, I mean, I can't wait to tell them about her sarcasm too. I mean, I know, you know, my mom, and she was stubborn, and she believed what she believed. And I'm so lucky that she was able to pass on, I guess, a little bit of that to me, hopefully. So maybe someday I'll pass that on to my children as well.
Mary Carner is a registered nurse in Connecticut. She's a daughter of the late Dr. Maggie Carner. She's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, My Mom Just Died of Brain Cancer. Here's Why She Opposed Assisted Suicide. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Mary, thank you very much for your time, and we got you and your whole family in our prayers.
Thank you so much.
We've got a brand new Issues Etc. book of the month. It's a devotional resource. It's called Martin Luther Day by Day. Now, one of the great features of this is that they're still translating Luther. In fact, volume by volume, they're still translating the voluminous writings of the 16th century reformer. And this resource actually contains some never before translated into English Luther gems for your day-by-day devotional reading. It's called Martin Luther Day by Day. from Concordia Publishing House. You can find out more about it and browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page of the website, issuesetc.org. Or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for Martin Luther, Day by Day. In hour two of Issues Etc., we'll answer the question, how Lutheran is 5-2's church planting conference with Pastor Chris Hull, and we'll respond to an evangelical cliche about God tugging on your heart with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
When the Apostle Paul stated, "I have become all things to all men," was he talking about fitting in with the world? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled All Things to All Men. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor David Wan's story of failing to find Lutheran theology in several Lutheran churches, but finding it in Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
Cradled in historic Perry County, Missouri, the manger of the Missouri Synod, Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 453 Northwest Street in Perryville proclaims God's Word and celebrates His Supper on Saturdays at 5:30 and Sundays at 7:30 and 10 using the church's liturgy contained in Lutheran Service Book, enriched with ancient and modern hymns. For more information, call 573-547-8317 or visit www.emmanuel-perryville.org.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.